once again. Appreciate Brother Jeff asking us this morning. It's a glory and a privilege to be in the Lord's house. A lot of folks, and I would that you remember, my mom and dad come to mind, but there's a lot of folks that I've known over the years that faithful in the Lord's house that aren't anymore. And I see how it happens. I tell you, since we left the church and we've been visiting around, I can see how the devil get in and get you lax and get you to lay out, and then one Sunday turns into another and then another and then another. I see how it happens, and I guess I have more compassion for it now, Brother Jeff. But I tell you, folks just don't know what they're missing. Boy, you get into a good God-fearing church and you get in there where the Spirit of God comes down, there's nothing like it in all the world. There's no place that I'd rather be. I've often thought to myself, when the Lord gets ready for me to go, if I'm going by the grave, I'd just as soon drop dead behind this pulpit as I would anywhere I can think of, and just be in the presence and the Spirit of the Lord and God's people. But pray for those. You know, I don't think anybody plans, folks, like Brother Jeff was saying, I don't think folks plan to go to hell. I don't think folks plan to get out of God's house if you're a Christian. I don't think you decide one day, you know what? I guess a few people have done it, but you know, I'm just not going back anymore. I'm just tired of worshiping the Lord. But the devil is good at his job. He's good at what he does, and he sneaks in there on us. And we that are stronger in the Lord, and that's everybody that's steadfast in God's house, living right for the Lord, we need to pray for those, that the devil would not be able to get his hands on those that are in a moment of weakness. We've all had moments of weakness. You read through the pages of God's word that God's men had moments of weakness, and if it had not been for the hedge of the love of God that no doubt many folks had prayed for come over them, there's no telling what decisions they would have made. But it's good to be here tonight. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to be over in the book of 1 Kings, and you can turn on over there, chapter number 18, verse number 17. I'm going to read a couple of verses first elsewhere, but you go on and turn over there. You can quickly, if you will, and I just want to read a couple of things till we get there to kind of lay the groundwork. You may say, when this is over, preacher, this is the strangest message I've ever heard. It's what God gave me, and as I was praying over it and studying on it and trying to confirm that this is what God wanted, he said, yes, son, that's what I want. But as you get there, in Romans chapter 12, and verse 1, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, the words that I want you to take out of that scripture are that we are a living sacrifice that unto God Almighty. You and I are God's sacrifice. You and I are God's people. And then over in Hebrews 12:29 it says, for our God is a consuming fire. I want you to take those, and we'll get to them in a minute and do our best to bring out what God wants. In chapter 18, the book of 1 Kings, verse number 17, go read a little bit of scripture here. I won't try and weary you with it, but I want to lay some groundwork, and I don't want to misquote anything. I want you to see exactly what's taking place. It says here in verse 17, and it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord. And thou hast followed Balaam. And now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people, and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And the people answered and said, it is well spoken. You may be seated. I want us to look at this for just a minute. We may read a little bit more scripture, or we may not. God, I want you to understand the picture that I'm getting here as we see this. You go on down in verse 25, and it says Elijah told the prophets of Baal, he said, you get your bullock and you dress it. He said, you go ahead and do what you need to do. He said, boy, that they cried from morning until noon unto Baal, and they didn't get an answer. They got so excited in the, if you will, I want to paint a picture of God's house. God's man is called a meeting together amongst God's children, and so therefore I'm just arriving that in essence of the day they are in God's house. So they've come together in God's house, but not everybody's crying out unto God. Not everybody that comes through those doors cries out unto God. Not everybody that comes into the church worships God. Not everybody that calls unto a God is crying out unto the only God. That is the Lord Jehovah God, the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the only God. Beside him, there is no other. But here we see a contest, if you will. You say, preacher, what was all this about? This whole demonstration, this whole meeting, this whole circumstance was to prove one thing and one thing only, and that is who God is and that he is real. And here what we see as they gathered together on Mount Carmel that day, he said, I want you to go first. I don't believe that Elijah had any problem letting them go first because he knew that nothing was going to happen. I'm just thankful that I've got a God that I know is real enough that I don't care how many Muslims start praying for the death of Christians. I serve a real God that's able to defend his people and take care of his youngest and watch over his people. I serve the real God, and all others are a counterfeit. You say, preacher, you can't preach like that. You can't talk like that. What kind of Christian would I be if I didn't believe that with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength? If I think there's another God, then I might need to go after him. If I think there's another way, I'm in the wrong place tonight. There is no way but the Lord Jesus Christ, through that of the love of God the Father, the one and only God. There is no other God, and Elijah knew this, and he was about to prove it unto Israel. You say, preacher, now these were people that were supposed to know who God was. Let's remember that. These were not people who were not brought up in the... you say, preacher, how do you know that? You go back to the first. He said, art thou he that troubled Israel, the smart aleck king? You know, we got a lot of smart aleck politicians. They say that we need to separate church from state. I'm not getting political, but I want you to understand one thing about what our founding fathers had in mind, the best that I understand it. They wrote the separation of church and state to keep the state out of the church's business, not to keep God out of the state's business. That is not what was meant by that, but that's what we got a lot of folks running around telling us today, that if all these conservative Christians, if all these Baptists would keep their God out of our business, we could run this country. If it weren't for God, this country would have been in the ground a long time ago. You say, well, preacher, I don't know about all that. He said, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And I thank God Elijah was of a man of the Spirit of God enough to have the backbone to say, it's not me that's troubled Israel, but it's you. We need to have enough guts and enough Spirit of God in us to stand up when our government tells us all this that's wrong is right. We need to stand up and say, oh, no, it's not in my house by the grace of God. I don't care if it's legal, it don't make it right. I don't care if who says that it's okay to do it. If my Bible tells me not to do it, I'd be better off not to do it. And so would you. Elijah said, it's not me that's troubled Israel, but you. Now, talking about Israel, what we're getting at, these are God's people. I think we all agree that Israel are God's chosen people. That's God's wife. That is the wife of God, according to Scripture. So these are people who are supposed to know who God is. We got a lot of folks in church who are supposed to know who God is, but half the time, Brother Jeff, they wouldn't recognize him and don't recognize him when he walks in the back door. Hey, preacher, God don't walk through the back door. Thank God I got news for you. God's not only in the back door, he's walking all around across the front of this pulpit. He's sitting down beside each and every one of us. He's in the midst tonight because Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. I don't know about you, but I came in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's here tonight, and I want you to get on board with that.
You say, preacher, I don't know about that. Thank you, Jesus. I'm glad that God has showed up. I want us to understand something about church. Preacher, this scripture got nothing to do with church. I want to beg to differ. This verse, this passage of scripture has everything to do with church, has everything to do with the house of God, has everything to do with the worship of God and the importance of the worship of God. Preacher, how can you say that? I'm going to say this, and if you hadn't figured it out by now, I'm just going to put it as blunt as I can. When we can get together all we want, if God don't show up, we've wasted our time.
Amen.
If God doesn't, and I'll put it this way, if God does not come down from heaven, we've wasted our time. I can't preach. God does the preaching through me. Let me put it this way. I could try and preach, but you wouldn't want to hear nothing I had to say. I can guarantee you right now, I could study up. I could write out the best sermon I could come up with, and it wouldn't touch a heart. It wouldn't move a soul. It might tickle your mind. It might tickle your intellect. It might get you to thinking, but the only thing I want to get you is closer to that unto the Lord Jesus Christ, and the only thing can do that is the power and the Spirit of Almighty God. That's what we need. Notice what he said. This whole contest was to prove who God was, that he existed. He said, preacher, well, so what happened? The Bible says they cried out unto Baal. He says, from morning until noon. It says in verse 26, rather, it says, and they took the bullock which was given them, they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered, and they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awake. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lances until the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when the midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor answer nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. I want to stop right there for just a minute. I want to try and lay this all in order. Like I said, this might not be the neatest and the most consequential or sequential, I should say. This message might not flow all that good, but I want you to pay attention to what God's trying to say. He gave them their shot. I want to say tonight that the devil has had his chances in the churches across the United States of America. We've brought in modernism. We've brought in liberalism. We've brought in all these other things that are supposed to make our nation better, that are supposed to make us a better God-fearing people. Well, you tell me, are we closer to God now, or were we closer to God 60 years ago when God's men were preaching hellfire and damnation, and they were standing on the word of God, and folks had some principle about them, and they knew what God said was right, and anything contrary to what God said was wrong?
Amen.
I just believe we were closer to God back then.
Yes.
Oh, but we've brought everything in. The devil has had his say in the churches.
Yeah.
And what kind of condition has it gotten us in? It's got us a bunch of religious fanatics that hoop and holler and jump around. The Bible says here that they began to get up on top of the altar and cut themselves and let the blood, the Bible says the blood gushed. That's not my word. That's what's in the Bible here. It said the Bible gushed out upon them. They made a bloody mess in there, but yet it had no power to it. There's a lot of places today claiming to worship God that put on a good show, but God's not in it. They're drawing people by the thousands, but God's not in it. You say, well, preacher, what's wrong with that? As long as we get them in, you get them in somewhere where the Spirit of God is not. Answer me a simple question. How's anybody that's lost going to get saved without the presence of the Spirit of God? It will not happen. According to my Bible and the words of Jesus Christ, it cannot happen. So you're going to have thousands of folks lost and on their way to hell playing a good game, pretending a good thing, and they're going to die without Jesus because that seems to be where it's at. I don't care about the latest religious fad. I don't care about the latest Christian fad. I'm just old-fashioned in the sense that I just believe everything that God said, and even the things I don't understand, I still believe them, and I think we'd be all better off to just get back to doing things God's way. Thing about it is, God's way, it upsets me sometimes. Preacher, you can't say that. Why would you say that? Because it's true.
And if you're honest with yourself, you'd admit the same. Everything God does doesn't make sense to me. Everything God requires of me doesn't make sense to me. But my life is blessed and it's better when I do what God says to do. We're all about what we want. Boy, we want this, so we go get it. We want to do that, so we go do it. Oh, and I'm talking about in the mindset and the frame of the house of Almighty God. Boy, if it's something we think we ought to do, oh, we just ought to do it. What happened to praying over it and asking God and seeking God's face over it? You know, there's a lot of things need to be done, but some of them don't need to be done by us. What we need to do is what God told us to do. I found one thing I've learned about Baptists. They don't want to do what God wants them to do. They want to do what God wants somebody else to do. Oh, preacher, I don't want to do that. Can I do this? Well, I don't know. If God told you to do this, you better do this. Well, preacher, what's that got to do with this scripture? Now, look at it. Elijah let them carry on. And I get a little irritated with people. You know, nobody worries about offending Christians. Do you know, have you ever noticed that? Now, even when I was in high school, and that's been many years ago now, trying to come out, you know, people were real sick. You can't say that around Muslims or Buddhists or this or that. You know, you'll upset them. You'll hurt their feelings. You'll offend them. If Jesus offends you, you need to be offended. Let me say that again. If Jesus Christ and Him crucified, risen, and coming again offends you, and His blood shed to save sinners offends you, bless God, I hope I'm the most offensive thing you've ever seen. When did we get so scared of telling people the truth that we just quit doing it anymore? They don't worry about offending me. It offends me that they say that Jesus was just another man. That offends me. It offends me that they say there's no way He was born of a virgin. That offends me. It offends me when they call Him queer. It offends me when they say He got married. But you don't see the Christians storming down to the book house and burning all them filthy books, do you? But you let somebody say something against the Quran and they'll have you in the courtroom. You say, preacher, I don't understand all that. He let them go, but won't you know what the man of God did? Now see, I just believe if the man of God was allowed to do it, I want us to know, the Bible said Elijah mocked him. Said, hey, maybe you need to cry a little louder. Maybe he's gone somewhere and you got to wait until he gets back. Aren't you glad you don't have to wait until God gets back? Aren't you glad God's always there? Boy, no matter where God is, I'm thankful He's wherever I am. You say, well, preacher, he said, maybe he's went on a journey. He said, or maybe he sleeps and you need to wake him up. I'm glad the God of Israel neither slumber nor sleepeth. I'm glad He's awake. I'm glad He's up when I'm up. I'm glad He's up when I'm asleep and He's watching over me. I'm glad I got a God that hears me every time I pray. But boy, He may not answer instantly, but He hears every prayer that I've ever asked of Him. And I thank God He's answered all of them. He just said no to some of them. Yeah. You say, well, preacher, God never answered me. That's not true. God did answer you. Boy, He might have told you to wait a little while. He might have given it to you right then, or He might have said, no, you're not going to have that. You say, well, I don't like it when He says no. I've just learned that, boy, whatever God says, that's best for me. But let's go on just a little bit. I'm trying to lay a scene for you, if you will. The Bible says they each started with the same sacrifice. They both were on equal terms. You know, Elijah didn't have an advantage here. Matter of fact, I believe he let them choose first. I believe he let them pick the bullock they wanted, the sacrifice of you. He said, you pick whichever one you want, don't make no difference to me. So they got it, and boy, there they went. And there they carried on. And boy, all this, that, and the other. And I want you now, let's just read the rest of this, and we're going to get into this just a minute. I want you to notice what it said. And Elijah came, said unto all the people, come near unto me, in verse 30. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Now you got to ask yourself this, why was the altar of the Lord broken down? Well, yeah, they didn't need it anymore. They had Baal. What do we need God for? We got something better, preacher. Preacher, we don't need that old King James anymore. We got one that's easier to read. God forbid, you better go scrap that other one out somewhere and throw that thing in the trash. Hallelujah. He said he repaired the altar. And notice what he said. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with these stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time.
second time, and he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. I want us to notice something about what's going on right here. Elijah's about to have meaning. He wants to put everything in order. Whether we realize it or not, there's an order of things in the house of God. The Bible says, let everything be done decently and in order. It's not a free-for-all in here. People say, well, preacher, when you get carried away and y'all start shouting and folks get happy, oh boy, I'm glad nothing's more decent and in order than the Lamb of God than when we get excited and praise his name and get beside ourselves and the Spirit of God falls. That's not the kind of undecency I'm talking about. We think we got to get in here and act like God. I'm glad if we'll let God be God, we won't have to act. He'll just manifest himself. He laid it in order, the Bible says. He built it up. Not only that, he put a trench around about the altar. He filled it up. He said, go get water. He said, preacher, where'd they get any water? They were in a drought. I don't know where they got water. I just believe they get water the same place. I believe the Lord sent them some water. I just believe God will do whatever is necessary to get people's attention. God will do whatever's necessary to defend his youngins. God will do whatever is necessary to magnify his name. You say, well, preacher, what's that got to do with anything? He put it in order. He dug the trench. He said, now I want you to go. He said, and get 4 barrels of water. He said, I want you to pour it on everything. And said, they did it. This they did 3 more times. He said, I want you to go and you pour all that on there. You say, preacher, why in the world would he do that? Why would he have them waste that water? Anything that is done sincerely at God's command is not wasted. You remember the woman that came in as Jesus was sitting over there, and she took that ointment and she broke it open and she began to wash his feet and she began to anoint him. She began to wipe his feet with her hair and her tears began to fall. And boy, old Judas said, hey, you know what she doing over there? We could have took that stuff and sold it. He said, we could have fed the poor with that. There's a lot of folks that think good works are more important than listening to the voice of God. Boy, it's important to mind the Spirit. That's what's important. That's what God's trying to teach us in all of this, is that it doesn't matter what kind of show we put on. If God doesn't come down from heaven, it's all been a waste. I know people. I've grown up with people. I used to go to school with people. They'd go to a certain church because they said, boy, that church is exciting. What makes it exciting? And I got the privilege to go with them. And he said, privilege? Why'd you call it a privilege? Because I got to see what was out there. Yeah. You know, everything's not done like it's done here. Oh, I'm telling you, there's some folks, they get up and they dance and they shout and they holler and they mumble and they say stuff and God's not in an ounce of it. But boy, it sure does look impressive from the outside. And if you didn't know no better, you'd think, boy, God surely must be in this place. Yeah. See, that's what happened. That's what happened with the devil here and the prophets of Baal. Boy, they really looked like they had it together. I mean, anybody dedicated enough unto their God to get on the altar and lash themselves till they gushed with blood, buddy, they must surely, they've got something worth believing in or they wouldn't go through all that. There's a lot of people that are sincerely going to die and go to hell for what they believe. Preacher hit on that this morning. They believe with all their heart the road they're going down is going to get them there. But outside the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified and risen from the dead, there is no other way. Amen. Now notice what he says, preacher, what's all I got to do? I want us to look at this. He poured it on there. He said, why did he tell them to do it the third time? I just believe the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. See, that's another thing. When we come to worship, we got to have all three of them. See, that's where the Jews fall short today. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not talking about the Jews in any way. That's God's chosen people. But the reason they failed is they would not accept the Son. They believe in God now. You talking about a Jew, you need to be careful. I've heard a lot of Christians badmouth Jews. I don't badmouth them now.
That's God's wife. But boy, they don't accept the blood, the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is where they fall short. But I'm glad that the Lord's still reaching out to them, and we need to reach out to them, and we need to pray for them. Boy, if it weren't for their unbelief, you and I would have never been grafted in. Because they refused. Jesus said, I go unto the Gentiles. So, preacher, what's that got to do with anything? You got to have the whole picture. A lot of folks talk about the Spirit, but they don't have the Father and the Son. Oh, you ought to come to our church. It's got a great spirit. You know, you realize the devil's got a spirit too.
Yes, he does.
And a lot of times to the untrained eye, and by untrained, I mean that rooted and grounded in the Word of God, it looks a lot like God's Spirit.
Yes.
Or it can when it wants to. Oh, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm telling you, we need to cry out unto the one true God that every time we come together to worship, He'd fall down on us from heaven. Say, preacher, why do you put it like that? Because that's exactly what He did here. I want the fire to fall tonight. Preacher, fire scares me. What did we read before we got started? He said, our God is a consuming fire. Oh, preacher, I don't know where we're going with that. Notice what he said. He said, and the water ran about the altar, and he filled the trench with water. Now, I've heard preachers say it a lot, and I don't agree with it according to what God just taught us here. Wet wood won't burn. That's not true. My God can set wet wood on fire. Now, preachers say that in the context that if you come into the Lord's house with everything else on your mind but God, you're not going to get a blessing out of the message. And there's some truth in that. They say that in the context that if the congregation is far from the Lord, it's going to be hard for the preacher to do anything, to get anything by anybody stirred up. But I just won't believe God's trying to tell us this right here, and this is to the preachers in the house of God tonight. If we'll preach the Word of God and cry out to the one true living God, I don't care what situation and what shape the sacrifice is in, God can light it up tonight. It's not up to us to get them lit. It's not us to get them in the right condition. If we'll preach the Word to them, God will fall on them and He'll light them up. God can light wet wood. I believe that's exactly why God told Elijah to wet this thing. See, it doesn't matter. See, the other, look at the other sacrifice for a minute. Now, preacher, why do you keep talking about sacrifice? Who's the sacrifice? Me? You? What did we read over there in the book of Romans? Present our body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. I'm the sacrifice. I'm what's laying on the altar before God tonight. You say, preacher, why in the world would you be there? What in the world would God want with you? God wants to consume me. Woo! Glory to God. You say, preacher, why do you want to be consumed? I want to be consumed with the Holy Ghost of God. You know, consumed, we think of burn up, but you know, it also can mean eat up. I want to get eat up with Jesus tonight. How about you? And it's not just a one-time thing. Every time, now don't misunderstand me, when I got saved, I got sealed by the Holy Ghost, and I got the Holy Ghost the instant I got born again, and I didn't have to go back later and get it, but I do come back regularly for some fill-ups. When I come, every time we come into God's house, we ought to desire that we get filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Preacher, you sound like Church of God. Since when did the Church of God get the rights to the Holy Ghost? If we without the Spirit, you are none of mine, the Lord said. How are we going to worship God without His Spirit? It's not some mystical, magical, crazy thing that happens. It's simply I'm a sacrifice laying on the altar before God, and God comes down and consumes me if I'll allow Him to. And when He consumes me, He can do things nobody ever thought possible. When we get eat up with Jesus, God can do great things. How does that happen? Well, I'll tell you how it happened in this instance. God's man, the preacher, preached them the truth, prayed unto God, and backed up and waited. That's all it took.
Amen.
He said, God, I've done everything you've said. I've told them your truth, and I'm going to pray for them. God, it's up to you to send the fire. I don't care how bad they resisted the fire. If you get some folks in God's house earnestly enough to desire the fire of God, it will fall. Aren't you glad of that? You'll find all through the Scripture, boy, Jesus said two or three agree on any one thing. He said, you don't have to have everybody in the church on board, Brother Jeff. You just get a handful of men there asking that God just fall down on this place and He'll light it up, praise God. Well, preacher, why do we have to get like that every time we come to worship? The God manifests himself in many ways in a service, but here's what I want you to understand. What did we say at the beginning was the whole purpose of this little exercise here? It was to prove that God is real and who he is. How do you think this community is going to know about the Lord if every time you come together, you're humdrum and you leave God out of it? If the Spirit of God falls and lights this place up, they're going to know God is real. People say, I can't prove to people God is real. You can by the way you live. Full of the Holy Ghost of God. If you let God fall on you regularly. Preacher, why do you put it fall on me? That sounds like that hurt. You know what that does? Notice what it says here. The Bible says that the fire of the Lord fell. It consumed the burnt sacrifice. It consumed the wood. It consumed the rocks. It consumed the dust. And it licked up the water. Now, I would just argue with you this. The water was not, that was a hindrance to this whole situation. Preacher, what's God trying to tell us? I don't care what kind of hindrance or opposition of the devil you've got in the church. You pray unto God hard enough and you get earned enough of God and you lay still in your place as a sacrifice unto God and God will lick it up with holy fire and do away with it. God is able to remove any hindrance to his work. He always has been and he always will be. We've got this attitude that everything's got to be perfect before God will come down. I want you to know God comes down to make everything perfect. Everything wasn't perfect. Elijah said, wet that thing. He said, what do you want to wet it for? You're trying to catch it on fire? Wet it anyway. You say, well, preacher, that's all good and well, but what's that got to do with anything? The condition of the sacrifice doesn't matter. As long as it doesn't matter what's going on. Boy, I've heard people say, oh, that's a pretty church. That's good to have a nice building. Y'all got a beautiful church here. But a beautiful building does not make a good church. I've been in a lot of them had real pretty buildings. There wasn't an ounce of the Spirit of God in there. Oh, you got a this, you got a that. I've been to a lot of them, boy, they had they had entertainer quality singers. I wouldn't give you a nickel for it. I'd rather hear, I've said this all my life, and I believe it with all my heart, and you can disagree with it, or you can say, preacher, you're crazy, I'd rather hear somebody get up, couldn't carry a tune in a bucket, hit every key on the scale, and sing out of their heart with joy for the Lord any day of the week, than hear somebody polished and prepped that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ if he stared them eyeball to eyeball. Say, what is it all about? It's all about God coming down to be with his people. Elijah taught us this. God taught us this through Elijah in this verse of Scripture. What is the point of us being here tonight? It's that God might come down and prove who he is. Now, I'm going to ask a personal question, and I don't want you to answer it out loud. You ever wondered? I'm talking about folks that have been saved now. You ever wondered who God is? Huh? You ever wondered where he is? Well, I'll raise my hand, I have. Preacher, I'm not supposed to admit that I have those kind of thoughts. Well, I do. But every time I've had them, I thank God Almighty I found me a place off somewhere that I got down on my knees and the fire of God fell. He said, I'm right here, son. He said, I've always been here. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He said, I am who I told you I was when I saved you, and we're in this thing all the way. There's not another. There's nobody to change over to. There's nothing else we need. And I want us to look at this too. And you say, preacher, how are folks going to get saved? Boy, brother, Jeff and I were talking about that service. The whole purpose of God's people getting together, yes, it's to worship. Yes, it's to draw closer to God. But one of the biggest purposes of the church is to draw the lost in that they might get saved. You're talking about a bunch of folks running around didn't remember who God was. Remember how we started out this chapter? They were all following after Baal. They didn't even remember who God was. But by the time the fire of God came down, what did they say in verse 39? And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. You want people to know who Jesus is to get saved, then let the Holy Spirit have his way. Now, again, I'm not preaching some kind of charismatic doctrine. Don't misunderstand me. I can pretend to do anything. You know, I can fake a convulsion and fall in the floor and flip around for 30 minutes if that's what I wanted to do. God wouldn't be in that. It's always tickled me, and I might have said this here before, but on this subject, it's always tickled me, the supposedly religious folks of our day, every time supposedly God gets a hold of them, they're all laid out and incapacitated. I don't find in the scripture when God comes on the scene that folks lay out incapacitated. My Lord said, rise up and walk. Anytime you find Jesus moving on the scene, he tells his people to get up and do something. Oh, you say, preacher, how do I know when the Spirit comes down? It may just be, oh, that sweet feeling inside that just surrounds your heart and lifts every burden and takes away every care and every fear and every doubt and just lets you just cry. That preacher, I'm scared to lift my hands up. You may just tear up. And then, boy, when I got saved, I just bawled like a baby. Water just flowed from my cheek, just came down. You may be able to get those hands up, and you just may stand there in awe of the presence of God. I believe that God is no different nowadays as he was in the days of the tabernacle in Moses' day. The Bible said when he came into the tabernacle, it filled it with such a great smoke that the folks were stopped at the door. I want you to know tonight that God can fill this place so strong you can hardly stay in here with him. Well, Moses wanted to see him, and God said, you can't look on me and live, Moses. You can't get that close to me. Boy, but I'm glad we can get a glimpse of the behind side of the glory of God. We can get in the presence of his Spirit, but we can get filled with the Holy Ghost of God so much so that, boy, we're just ready to jump out of here at any time. Say, preacher, what is this saying to us? No matter what we do, no matter how we are, no matter what you hold to or not, if we don't invite and earnestly seek and pray that God manifest himself through his Spirit every time we come together, we're wasting not only our time but God's. God wants to come down and prove who he is. Have you ever had, I've known people, lost people, and you just think to yourself, I wish there was some way I could prove to them God is real. You can. Live the way God tells you to. If we don't live like we believe this book, how do we expect to win anybody else to Jesus? If I don't live like I think this is the absolute truth, how in the world am I going to convince anybody else that it's right? Oh, well, preacher, you know, I'm a human, and I'm not talking about sinning. We all sin and come short. We all, Paul said, I die daily. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about having a desire to do it better. No, about having a desire to do it God's way. I know churches that they won't admit it, and they may not even realize it. They're scared to death to even say the word Holy Ghost in the congregation. Preacher, we can't talk about the Holy Ghost. Why not? You'll find Jesus did an awful lot of talking about him, and he spoke very highly of him, if I remember correctly. Oh, he said he'd bring all things to our remembrance, whatsoever I have taught you, whatsoever Jesus has taught us. He said he'll bring those things to your mind. He said he'll get in the midst. What did Jesus call him? He said the Holy Comforter. You want to know why so many God's people are tore up and bent out of shape and anxious and worried and scared? Because they will not let the Comforter minister unto them. We want to come into church and we want to sing our hand-picked couple of songs, and we want to let the preacher preach for 20 minutes if we can handle him that long, and then we want to get up and get out of there and get to the restaurant, and we leave no time for God to show up. We leave no desire for God to come down. If God comes down, preacher, we may be there 2 or 3 hours. Well, praise God, let's just stay and wait on him a while. I want to ask you a question. I'm going to close with this. Do you think if after Elijah had prayed that first time, if God had not fell, for the fire had not fell from heaven, do you think that Elijah would have just said, all right, y'all win. God's not showing up either. We'll just call it a draw, and y'all believe what you want to, and I'll believe what I want to, and we'll see how it pans out in the end. You got preachers preaching that from the pulpit. He said, God might not answer me the first time, but I'm going to keep praying until he does. Praise God, we need to pray on through. I'm not giving up on God. By God's grace, I'm not. I'm not making any promises. I'm not making any bold statements. By the grace of God, my God is real. He's the only right thing, and I'm just going to stay with him. And by his grace, I'm going to pray for him to show up, and I'm going to wait on him as long as it takes for him to do so. Amen. While we stand, they come get a song. Brother Jeff, that's what the Lord's laid on my heart. If you have a need tonight, I thank God that you can feel the Spirit of God in this church. Boy, like Brother Jeff was talking about this morning, you can come in and feel God's presence. God's Spirit makes it does manifest itself. It does bear witness with our spirit that we are God's children. You go into some churches, you don't feel that. I'm glad you can feel that here. You ought to be glad you can feel it here. I got news for you, though. You start following after something else, and it may not always be that way around here. you start criticizing your pastor more than you pray for him, and things may change around here. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? You need to lift up the man of God. I don't say that to get any kind of points or to tickle your... It's just a fact. You need to lift up your pastor. You people, and I say that with love, I don't mean that in any derogatory way, y'all have no idea what your pastor goes through on your behalf.
Amen.
Have no idea. But God knows what he goes through.
Yeah.
Any other preacher or pastor in here knows what he goes through. And you ought to lift him up. Boy, and if he does something you don't like, you ought to lift him up even harder and say, oh, God, I know there's a reason. He preached that message for a reason. He said that out of love for a reason. And God, you help me to get the message here. Oh, you got a wonderful church. Oh, do you feel the Lord in his house tonight?